Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Mask. I'm your host, Ed English. Tonight we'll be talking about this year's movie blockbusters, ones that that have already started coming out at the beginning of this month, through what's in store for the rest of the year. I have two guests with me today. Good friend of mine, Chad O'Rourke from St. Louis, Missouri, fellow comic book and movie buff, as well as my wife and, if you know her on Facebook, movie reviewer, Sheila English. So welcome, everybody.
Thanks.
Hello.
So I just wanted to start off this year. January 14th was the first of this year's comic book adaptations with the Green Hornet. So I wanted to touch base on that. I thought Seth Rogen did a pretty good job making it believable yet entertaining. Chad, what did you think of Green Hornet?
You know, I actually didn't see it just because Seth Rogen was in it.
Oh.
Really?
I have a hard time believing Seth Rogen is any sort of action hero or comic hero whatsoever. I just couldn't get past that part.
Not even as the voice of Mantis in Kung Fu Panda?
Okay, if you're going to go with that, yeah, then I guess. But, yeah, I have a hard time believing him as anything other than a stupid pot-smoking comic relief character.
Interesting. Sheila, what did you think about the Green Hornet?
Well, I'll tell you, I was really leaning toward not seeing it, to be honest, pretty much for the same reasons that Chad just said. But I'll tell you what I liked about it is they really didn't try to turn him into a hero. He became a hero by default. He became a hero by association. But he still was kind of a fool. I mean, he was still the same, you know, kind of the same
comic relief character.
Yeah, he really was. And I thought they did a really good job in turning him into the Green Hornet. But really, he was the first hero that I ever saw that was like, he really was the hero and the sidekick. You know, it's like he kind of went back and forth between him and the other character. I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was funny. I knew not to have high expectations, so maybe that helped.
Okay. And then just a couple weeks ago, there was a release. I follow Dark Horse Comics on Facebook, so I was aware that a movie called Dylan Dog, Dead of Night, based on a Dark Horse comic series, was coming out, starring Brandon Routh, who many people might remember from Superman Returns. He also made an appearance in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. And a fellow by the name of Sam Huntington, who not many people might recognize by the name, but if you watch a new show called Being Human on Sci-Fi, he is the werewolf character on there. And I went expecting to be entertained, and I was entertained. I wasn't blown away. I wasn't, awestruck. I didn't run out and tell all my friends they had to go see it. But I did enjoy the movie. Sheila, what did you think of it?
I know you and I have talked about this a little bit earlier today. I could have waited to see it on DVD, to be quite honest. And it's not because it didn't have some great effects and it had a monster in it that I loved. There were monsters, there were vampires, there were zombies, and that's definitely all up my alley. I really enjoyed that. But as far as Dylan Dog goes, I'll tell you the mistake that they made. They created the movie, I think, and this is just my opinion, and it assumed a lot of things. It assumed that the people who were going to see the movie knew who Dylan Dog was. It wasn't until later in the movie, not quite halfway, but late enough that I already felt like I was invited to the party and didn't know anybody. I didn't know what he was. Who's Dylan Dog? I know he's a person. Was he a private investigator and he knew about the paranormal world? What, exactly what was his story? And I think this movie assumed that I had seen the graphic novel or the comic book, or that I knew who he was and that I knew him, his circumstances, enough to have some empathy with that character. And I did not. I thought the actor did a good job. I really did. But I think that they really missed their mark. I actually felt more connected with the secondary character, his friend, the one played by Sam Huntington, because he ends up, I don't want to spoil it too much, but you know, something happens to him, and you kind of see who he was, what happened to him, and how he was affected to it. And I really felt a connection with the secondary character, and they missed the mark with their hero. So I hate to do that. I love to go see movies based on graphic novels and comics, but if I get there, I don't want them to assume that I read it all, because I haven't.
Right. You mentioned that, you know, with for instance, the Spider-Man movies, they could have afforded to assume people knew more about the character because he's more of a universal entity. But that even though, even the first one with Tobey Maguire, they took you from the human transformation into hero better. Chad, did you see Dylan Dog by chance?
I did not see Dylan Dog, but let's not start dragging Spider-Man's name through the mud, because those movies were terribly
off the
mark.
No, I'm saying it was a good thing that they could have assumed that everybody knows Spider-Man, but yet they didn't, and they introduced you to Peter Parker and really got you to relate to Peter Parker before, and they showed you his transformation and how he got into the circumstances that he was in. I think that's the point Sheila was making that Dylan Dog failed to do.
And, you know, I had only caught a single trailer, so this shows you the market penetration on the trailers there. But I only caught a single trailer for this movie, and I saw that Brandon Routh was a fan. And I'm a Brandon Routh fan just because of the Superman Returns movie. And I had never heard of him before, and I thought he did very well. He looked the part.
He
mimicked Christopher Reeve very well. And so I wanted to give money to this, but I didn't even know the date it came out, because the market penetration, the advertising was just not there. I know literally nothing about the movie other than Brandon Routh was in a new movie that came out. I could tell you nothing else about it.
And really, I only knew about it because, I saw postings on my Facebook wall from Dark Horse. That was really the key. Had I just seen a movie poster or saw that it was playing at my local theater, I, number one, probably wouldn't have known that it was associated with the Dark Horse comic unless maybe I read the fine print at the bottom of the poster. And likely might not have gone to see it, except maybe for Sam Huntington, because I love the sci-fi show Being Human. So, but you're right, it wasn't very well announced, and the way that they presented the character wasn't done well. Which brings us to the most recent comic book-related release, the first release of what they call the summer season, beginning in May, with Thor. Marvel Studios release, starring Chris Hemsworth, Anthony Hopkins, a slew of other names. Chad, have you been to see it, and what'd you think?
Have I been to see it? Are you kidding me?
Well, I didn't know if you've seen it once, twice, five times already. I don't know.
I saw it once. I went opening day. I have to say that's probably the Marvel comic movie that I was worried the most about, simply because of how unbelievable the entire character is. I was really worried. I got to be honest with you. I saw some of the CG effects in the trailers, and I looked into it pretty good, and I was starting to get a little worried, so my expectations weren't very high. Went into sales and saw the movie, was blown away. I thought they did an amazing job. I thought all the acting was spot on. The casting was spot on. I might argue Anthony Hopkins was inappropriate. I thought he made a perfect Odin before I went to saw the movie. I went to see the movie, and when I got there and saw him in the role, was very disappointed in him. Other than that, I think everything else was spot on, and I was very impressed with the movie. I think making the character believable actually worked out, and I am a massive Chris Hemsworth fan from his latest movie. What was that? Star Trek, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's that opening scene of that movie, it will get you every time, and I think he did an amazing job as Thor, both in realism and comedic acting. I think he expanded his marketability definitely and brought a lot to the movie as it is.
Well, I mean, there were rumors early on that they were looking to cast Brad Pitt, and all I could think of was just envisioning him from Troy. But, you know, I'm definitely glad. I can think of, you know, five other actors, including Chris Hemsworth, that I'd rather see in the role of Thor than Brad Pitt. Not that I don't like Brad Pitt. I just don't think he fits the role. But Chris Hemsworth, even though the early comics didn't really have a bearded Thor, I thought he looked incredible in the role. I thought they did great with the costumes. The way they developed Asgard was awesome. And, you know, with Stellan Skarsgård and Natalie Portman and a lot of the cast of the Earth scenes was very well done. I wanted to ask Chad, did you catch the hint in the middle of the movie that's alluding to a new Avengers character?
Did I catch? I'm guessing not.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of who you were possibly talking about.
Well, I don't want to give anything, terrible away, to our listeners who might not have seen it. But there is a reference where when S.H.I.E.L.D. Is trying to stop Thor, one of their agents grabs a bow and heads for a high point.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, yes.
And I wondered why a special agent would have a purple bow. But he did, and I know exactly what...
You're just not trying to give it away.
One of the things I just want to point out, J. Michael Straczynski, who actually did some of the writing for this movie, he is a comic book writer. He wrote Amazing Spider-Man from 01 to 07. He actually had been writing Thor from 07 to 09. But he is he did some storylines back in the day for He-Man and She-Ra, and he did most. He was the creative genius behind Babylon 5. And actually did the Ninja Assassin story last year or the year before. But he actually makes an appearance as one of the townsfolk in Thor, I read. I'm going to have to go back and watch it just for him. But I wanted to ask, now we saw it in 2D and went back and saw it in 3D. And I know that there's a divided, two schools of thought about 3D and, you know, so 2D or not 2D, is the third D really worth it? Chad, what do you
make think? Did you make that kind of a poke because Kenneth Branagh directed the movie?
Well, I was kind of thinking about that. And I think Kenneth Branagh did a great job, by the way.
I think he did, except for the first 20 minutes of the movie. I was too busy dealing with 45-degree camera angles. But other than that, I think the rest of the movie came out fine after they got out of Asgard. But the... But the 2D 3D thing, if you're gonna film a thing in 3D, that's fine. Film it in 3D, start with 3D, and be fine with that. But if you're gonna film it in 2D and then port it over later, you're obviously not putting forth the full effort. Why do it even at all, other than to grab an extra $3 at the box office? That just aggravates the fire out of me. Why am I paying an extra $3 at the box office for something that you didn't even care that much about in the first place?
Well, and to that thought. You know, I think Clash of the Titans in 3D was one of the worst mistakes ever made in movie history. I think the 3D really distracted. I mean, for instance, Liam Neeson's armor as Zeus was sparkly enough in 2D, let alone I just got so glaring and distracting in the 3D version. Sheila, what do you think about 3D, and particularly about Thor?
Well, I did do a movie review on Thor, and I know some of our listeners saw that movie review, and you can and you know what my favorite part is.
Chris Hemsworth shirtless.
You know me so well. I loved Thor. I actually was very similar in thought as what Chad was saying. Is I didn't have a lot of high expectations for Thor. it seemed to me like, you know, they were going back and forth over who's going to be Thor, to the point that I lost interest in it. I didn't even know who was Thor. And then I did see, you know, I did see some little clips here and there, and I thought, well, you know, my husband's going to make me go see this. So, you know, I'm just going to buck up. I'm going to go see it, and I'm going to try to make the best of it. I was so surprised at how much I really enjoyed the movie. And, you know, it's nice when you go in and your only expectation is to have some good popcorn and not have a sucky movie. And you go in there and the movie blows you away. It's so fun. I was more than happy to go back and see it, you know, in 3D. I will say, though, that there are movies that can pull off 3D well. And then there are movies that are so obviously 3D because it's a trend or because it's more money that, you know, it actually kind of makes me, it is distracting. Thor could hold its own without that third D. Thor did not need the third D to be a fantastic movie. It didn't have anything in the movie that, you know, you look at it and you say, wow, if that scene had been in 3D, I'd have been blown away. There was not a single scene in there in which that's what I thought. I thought there were some scenes that potentially the 3D could have added to, but they didn't do anything with it. So it makes me think it's an afterthought. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of 3D. Avatar was the only 3D movie I ever saw that I thought, this is worth going to see in 3D. That is, so far, that's been the only one that I've seen that I really felt, okay, the 3D adds to my movie experience. That third D has to add something to your movie experience beyond the story, or that 3D needs to be so a part of what's happening in the story that without it, you feel like there might be something missing. But Thor in 3D, you know, I was hoping maybe that chest scene would look like I could reach out and touch it. That didn't happen, so I was kind of disappointed.
I definitely, Avatar was a quintessential 3D movie. I think Tron was probably the next best use of 3D of anything I've seen. Anything else that I've seen in 3D, aside from, you know, some animated movies, really I could live without.
I felt like there was one scene in Thor. I'm sorry to jump in there.
Go ahead.
One scene in Thor where they show in the trailer, so you can go find this right now if you're listening. He literally throws the hammer at the screen, and it comes back to his hand. I felt like that scene was designed specifically for 3D. I felt it looked so awkward the way the hammer came back to his hand that, to me, it was like, you did that only for the 3D. That's what it felt like to me. Other than that, I simply refuse to go see a movie in 3D unless I know for a fact ahead of time that a movie is going to add something to it. And I have to agree with both of you. Unless something like Avatar adds 3D to the movie. I mean, Avatar was shot in 3D on purpose, added something to the film, and that's the only reason why I will go see a movie in 3D, not this silly afterthought port to 3D thing that everybody's doing with every kid movie possible.
Well, this the rest of this summer and movie season has got several good titles, both comic book related as well as, I guess, cartoon and book related and general sci-fi. There is one being released this week called Priest, starring Paul Bettany, that is based on a Korean graphic novel by Min-Woo Hyung. That I had not heard of until just this week. I think I'd like to go see it because I think the story's interesting. Definitely won't be seeing it in 3D, that's for sure. But I'm curious as to whether it will be a rework or some sort of rehash of Legion because it has the same director and the same star. Next week is one that a lot of people are expecting. Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, the fourth installment of the Pirates. Chad, are you looking forward to the new Pirates movie?
I know my daughter is. which Which means I am as well, right? I mean, that's how Disney likes to rope us in. And that's fine. I've found that the first couple of pirate movies, you know, I enjoyed them. I'm willing to sit through a fourth one. That's about the extent of my excitement. I do like Johnny Depp as the main character. Yeah, I think he does well, and I like his eccentricities. However, but beyond that, I could really care less. I think they've worn some of these Pirates of the Caribbeans out, but I'm willing to sit through yet another one, just like the fourth or fifth Shrek. I don't know how many they're on anymore.
Right. Well, the next big release for this summer from Marvel Studios is X-Men First Class, the prequel that tells us how Charles Xavier and Eric Lyncher got together to ally mutants and train them and take care of them. I just want to say, I can't watch a First Class trailer without envisioning James McAvoy curving a bullet in Wanted.
Well said, sir. Well said.
I think they could have perhaps cast that better. I know that Charles Xavier had hair at one point, but I don't know that the James McAvoy was really the best job. Now, at the end of X-Men Origins Wolverine, they had actually done a CGI of Patrick Stewart when Xavier helps Cyclops save the kids from the island. So I was curious as to if Patrick Stewart would be, you know, and I think if they do any more X-Men franchises in present days, he's definitely been a great Professor X. As far as the other cast, Michael. Well, that's true. Michael Fassbender plays Eric Lyncher / Magneto. I've not really seen a whole lot from him, but he does look like he has the intensity that Magneto has. What do you think about the two main characters, Chad? The casting.
Here's my first question about the whole film. Is it still owned by Fox Studios? And thank God they at least changed directors, because X-Men 3 was an atrocity. I get that the director wanted out of his contract or whatever the whole deal was at the end of the third one, and, you know, different people did X-Men Origins Wolverine. That was a decent flick. But when you're jumping here, I hope to God they repair the franchise, because it was a lot of potential there that they just flushed down the drain, it seemed like to me. But as far as the two main characters go, I question the Xavier, but Magneto looks good, and I'm only going off of what I've seen in the trailers. He looks, I think you hit it right. You said he had the intensity right, and he looked mean and disturbed from, you know, past childhood. I guess however you can act that on your face, but seems to work out for him pretty well in the trailers. So I'll go see it. I will with low expectations, but I think I'm going to come out of there reasonably surprised.
Well, Sheila, what do you think of, having not really been an X-Men comic book reader, but having seen all of the other X-Men related movies, what do you think about the choices of James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender?
You know, with James McAvoy, I don't know. You know, I'm hoping he'll surprise me with the other actors playing Magneto. As you know, he was recently in Jane Eyre. He played Mr. Rochester, so I knew we would have some intensity from him. So I'm actually looking for. It's funny. I'm actually looking forward more to that character than the other one. Like you said, I didn't read the comics. I know it's probably sacrilege to the listeners for this show, but it's kind of nice because there are those people who have not read all of the comic books, and you know, if you can take your wife to see Thor, and she absolutely loves it, even though she does not understand the significance of, you know, somebody picking a bow and arrow, and that it, her, I have no idea what that means. It didn't matter. I liked the character who did it, that the brief little interaction that we had with him. You know, if you can have a movie that the people who love the comic or love the graphic novel look at it and they have respect for it, because you have to earn that with people who already have expectations, and you can entertain them, and then you can turn around and entertain someone like me who doesn't follow that, then you know, you've got a real winner on your hands. I don't know anything about X-Men First Class other than I'm going to go see it the opening day. That's what I can say.
Well, I do like the fact that they said it during the Cuban Missile Crisis, so they tie it in to historical events. I do like the fact that it features a lot of the earlier mutants like Banshee and Havoc, things of that nature.
I do like that
They've cast January Jones. Many people might know her as Betty Francis from Mad Men. She is playing Emma Frost. But I'm curious about the casting of Kevin Bacon. Was he losing his 6 degrees of separation, and so they really just they needed to get him in something so that he could maintain that? Or, you know, I don't know. I think he might be a great Sebastian Shaw. I'm hopeful.
I have. What's he cast as?
Sebastian Shaw, head of the Hellfire Club.
Really?
Yes.
I must have missed that in the trailers or something.
He appears in the trailer. It's a wide shot. There are three or four people standing. If you look closely, he's like the one of the middle ones. You can say, oh yeah, that's Kevin Bacon.
Wow. I have to agree with you. I question that cast as well, whether he's in the movie at all.
The other one coming, we just have a few minutes left. The other two big comic-related releases this summer are Green Lantern, starring Ryan Reynolds. Mark Strong is in it, Peter Sarsgaard, several others. And then later in July is Captain America, the First Avenger, starring Chris Evans and Hugo Weaving. I'm looking forward to Captain America more so than Green Lantern, but I am interested to see, since Green Lantern was done, I guess, mostly digitally, I'm interested to see how that comes across on the screen. Chad, which of those two are you looking forward to most?
Are you kidding me? I'm running to the theater the minute Captain America comes out. That movie looks...
yeah.
Look, when they told me Chris Evans was cast in the movie, I'm like, oh, no, you can't use Human Torch. You cannot use
Human
Torch.
That's what I said.
I was furious for, I don't know, whenever the first trailer came out. As soon as the first trailer came out, I was like, okay, I'm going to see that movie. That looks amazing. So I was literally leveled by the way the man looks in the freaking costume, and I was like, okay, and the costume didn't look retarded. So, I mean, it impressed me enough to where I'm going to be running to the theater.
Go ahead, finish up.
I was saying Green Lantern, I think this movie's a mistake. I think the whole movie is a mistake. First of all, your casting is a mistake. Ryan Reynolds is no Hal Jordan by a mile. And then you have something that maybe 10% of the population will actually pay attention to, which is CGI space characters as a main portion of the movie. I'm curious to see what the box office looks like, but I'm not expecting a lot. I will go see it strictly because it's Green Lantern, but I'm not expecting much again.
Okay. Sheila, weigh in on those two movies real quick.
Well, between Green Lantern and Captain America, I am really looking forward to Cowboys and Aliens.
I knew you were going to bring that in.
Sorry, that's the one I'm waiting for.
It does look great.
I'll see both Green Lantern and Captain America. You know, I'm going to go see them both. I'm always hopeful, and I'm always willing to be entertained. But, yeah, Cowboys and Aliens, that has my attention right now.
Well, with a cast, you know, including Daniel Craig and and Harrison Ford.
Yes.
It definitely looks to be an awesome movie. And by the way, that one comes out July 28th.
With the basis of the movie being so preposterous, and then you throw two serious, like, well-established actors into it, you know, who's not going to go see that?
Yes. Well, we're about to lose our live session. Are we staying later?
Right. No, I think we're going to call it with this one, and maybe we can come back later and talk about some of these movies and how we think they did. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Behind the Mask. Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Sheila, for joining us. And I hope everybody has a great night and join us again next week.
Thanks.
Absolutely, thanks.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.